The Gemara mentions that Ubar Yerech Imoy, that a fetus is considered to be like a limb or an appendage of its mother. And this, the Gemara applies to the case when an animal, a female animal, is convicted to death for murdering a human being. So that conviction will extend to the fetus as well. If the animal is pregnant, so then the fetus also is convicted to death. That's what the Gemara seems to say. And similarly, the Gemara earlier says something which is very similar. It says that if a pregnant animal murdered a person, the pregnant animal gored, and then it gave birth, so we assume that just like all of the different limbs of the animal participated in this murder, so too we assume that the fetus is considered to have participated in the murder, and therefore even if the fetus subsequently is delivered, both the mother animal and the fetus are going to be chayv misa, they're going to be liable to the death penalty because they both participated in the murder. The fetus participated no less than any of the animal's limbs. So this is the halacha of Ubar Yerech Imo. But as the Bali Tosfos point out, this is not such a simple or uniform halacha. It's not something which can be applied across the board, that we say that under all circumstances a fetus is considered no better and no worse than just a leg or an arm of the animal, and we can't apply in the opposite either in all circumstances, as some Tanoim seem to wish, to say that an Ubar, a fetus, is never considered like a limb of the mother. We can't apply this rule uniformly, we can't reject the rule uniformly, but rather we have to apply it on a case-by-case basis. And what this seems to mean is the following, that there are many ways in which a fetus and a mother can be considered to be strongly connected, and there are other ways in which the connection between a fetus and its mother can be considered very, very weak. So, for example, what are the strong dimensions of the connection? So, number one is that the fetus is entirely surrounded by the mother. Right? On the top, on the bottom, on the right, on the left, on the front, on the back, there's mother all around. So that's, in halacha, the degree of being bordered by something is considered to be a measure of the strength of connection. If something is entirely inside of a house, if a room is entirely inside of a house, it's considered to be much more part of a house than a room which is simply built on the outside of a house and only borders with one wall on the house. A room which borders all four walls on the house is more connected to the house than one where only one wall borders on the house. So in Ubar also, it's totally surrounded on all six sides by the mother. That's a strong degree of connection. In this sense, is even stronger than the connection that a limb has to the mother, because a limb probably only borders on one of its six sides with the animal, but an Ubar is surrounded on all six sides by the mother. A second degree is that there's physical, not even proximity, but continuity. Right? There's the basar, the flesh of the mother, and then there's an umbilical cord, and that umbilical cord is part of the mother, and it's part of the baby also. There's one continuous link of living tissue that comprises the mother and the Ubar and the fetus. So therefore, that's another very strong degree of connection. If you look even deeper physiologically, we'll discover that there are many of the vital signs and vital functions that are necessary for survival that are performed by the mother on behalf of the fetus. So the mother's heart is pumping blood through the fetus. The mother is delivering oxygen from her lungs to the fetus. So in those senses, there's a lot of connection in between the mother, right, and the fetus. Okay, that's the degrees of connection. Why would we consider there to be a strong connection? Why would we say, yes, that Ubar is Yerech Imo? But on the other hand, there's also certain things that make the connection weaker. For example, we know that this Ubar is ultimately, right, the fate or the destiny of a fetus is that it's going to be delivered and it's going to become an independent organism. So even though right now it's not independent, but its anticipated future, its fate and destiny is that it's going to be independent. So maybe that grants it, the fact that this is its fate and destiny, that grants it a degree of independence even in the present when it has not yet realized that fate or destiny. So that's number one. Number two, right, if it should happen that that somehow or other, the mother, dies, the fetus can continue to survive. In that sense, it's much better than a limb. Right? If the animal dies, there's no way that its foot is going to keep on surviving. However, right, if the animal dies, there is a way that the fetus can continue to survive. If somebody cuts the fetus out of the womb before it suffocates, so then the fetus can live. So that's another way in which the fetus is considered more independent than simply a limb, you know, of the mother. And therefore, we would say, you know, if we focus on that characteristic, we would say that Ober Lav Yarech Imo. There are other ways also. Again, the brain, a fetus has its own brain, the mother has a brain, the fetus has a brain, the nervous system of the fetus is independent of the nervous system of the mother, even though the circulatory system of the two organisms are really, it's the same circulatory system, and the mother is the one which is driving that circulatory system. The respiratory system also, to some extent, is going to be, you know, the mother's respiratory system is providing oxygen to the fetus. But when it comes to the nervous system, the brain of the mother doesn't control the movement of the fetus. It's the brain of the fetus that controls its own movement, even though the fetus is connected. So in that sense, if one were to focus on the brain, one would say that the fetus and the mother are not connected. So basically what we've done is we've analyzed a number of poles, some of which contribute to a strong connection between the fetus and the mother. In other words, a connection which would minimize the independence and maximize the emphasis on the fetus's dependence on the mother. And then we've isolated other poles which maximize the emphasis on the fetus's independence. Okay, so now we have to look at different areas of halacha, because, as we said from the Rishonim, we can't apply across the board and say all of halacha only focuses on those things which maximize dependence, or all of halacha focuses on those things which maximize independence. There are some halachos which are taloi on those characteristics, right, that are shared, or those characteristics which would predispose us to look at the fetus as an independent organism, and there are other halachos which are tali on the characteristics which would predispose us to view the fetus as a dependent organism. So what are some of these halachos? So Tosfos first of all points out, what about a trefa? We know that a trefa is forbidden to be eaten. So let's say an animal is a trefa and it has a fetus inside of it. The fetus is not a trefa. The mother animal suffers from a vital defect that's going to cause it to die very soon. The fetus, though, doesn't suffer from that defect. So let's say that that the mother was shechted. Okay, so you shecht a trefa, it still doesn't make it kosher. The question is, what's the halacha? What is the halacha of this fetus? Right? We know for sure that if you shecht an animal which is a trefa, so all of the limbs of that animal are forbidden to eat. All the limbs of that animal are treif. But what about the status of a fetus? So there, right, the Re tells us that even though ordinarily halacha focuses on those things which emphasize the dependence of the fetus on the organism, when it comes to hilchos treifos, we focus on the fetus's independence. In other words, we say that what makes an animal a trefa is its inability to survive. So every single limb of that animal, the animal's head, the animal's knees, the animal's toes, the animal's tail, all of those parts of the animal are unable to survive. So therefore, they all take the same halacha as the animal. But when we look at the fetus is able to survive independently. Therefore, says the Re, when it comes to determining the status of trefa, we're not going to look at the fetus as being simply dependent on the mother and therefore have the same status as the mother. We'll look at the fetus as independent because it can survive on its own. And therefore, when it comes to hilchos trefos, the fetus of a trefa is considered to be kosher as long as the mother was shechted properly, as long as the fetus is considered to have been shechted. So that's one area of halacha. This is according to the Shita of the Re, who says that all over Shas, we really focus, most areas of halacha focus on the fetus's dependence, but trefos focuses on the fetus's independence. Take another example. The Ramah tells us the following. Even though in our Gemara we say that an animal which is convicted, right? If the animal, let's say that an animal gored, and then the animal became pregnant, and then Bishas, the Gemar Din, when the animal was convicted and sentenced to death, the animal was pregnant. So the question is, what's the status of this animal's fetus? The Ramah says, even though the Gemara says that the fetus of the animal in this sense is considered Yarech Imo, we limit the application of this halacha. When it comes to determining the status of the fetus as an Isser Hana, so then we'll consider it to be to be a limb of the mother, meaning just like we paskin that the mother animal was aser behana, automatically the fetus becomes aser behana. However, says the Ramah, when it comes to the actual chiyuv misa, right, let's say that the fetus is born, it's delivered before we execute the animal. When it comes to the chiyuv misa, says the Ramah, we cannot execute the fetus if it's delivered before the mother's execution, because when it comes to executing the animal, we're going to focus on those things which grant the fetus, which granted independence. The same way that by Trefos, the Ri says that we focus on those characteristics that grant the animal independence, that make us view it as an independent entity. The Ramah says that when it comes to the Chiyuv Misa, right, so we're also going to view, to focus on those characteristics, you know, which allow us to view the fetus as an independent entity, and therefore, even though the mother was sentenced to death, we don't view it as if the fetus was sentenced to death. But when it comes to the Isser Hana, so then we say that no, that when it comes to the Isser Hana, we say that just like the status of Isser Hana inhered in the mother animal, so too that status also inhered in the Ubar, and we don't focus on those characteristics that make the fetus independent. And then that's something which needs to be considered. Why exactly is it that we draw this distinction between the Isser Hana and between the Chiyuv Misa? And just one other distinction, there are many, many more, both that are elaborated on by the Gemara itself and that are elaborated on by the Rishonim, but just in terms of what the Rishonim say on our daf, I just want to mention one other, and that is Rabbeinu Tam holds that ordinarily, all over Shas, we say that an Ubar, right, is not considered Yarachimo. In other words, that in most areas of Halacha, we focus on those characteristics that grant the Ubar independence. However, says Rabbeinu Tam, when it comes to the Vlad HaNogachas that we encountered on Amud Aleph, when a pregnant animal murdered a human being, so then, says Rabbeinu Tam, that there's the potential for being mechayiv this animal misa is something which inheres both in the mother animal and in the child animal and in the fetus. The Ran claims that it's because the fetus actually assisted somehow in the goring. Maybe it built up the momentum. The fact that the animal was pregnant meant it was heavier, and therefore its goring had more strength and more momentum behind it. That seems to be what the Ran says. But Rabbeinu Tam seems to say something else. Rabbeinu Tam seems to say that no, that in the context of creating a potential for sentencing the animal, we view those characteristics which are shared by the mother and the fetus as being primary. In other words, what were those characteristics again? Like, they share their blood, they share a physical ritzifos, a continuity, the animal is totally surrounded by the mother. Those are what define the potential of the ubar for being chayev misa, rather than those characteristics which cause its independence. And then again, the shayla of ubar yarech imo is no longer a shayla formalistically about whether any place that halacha says animal, it means fetus or whether or not, and rather means that in each area of halacha we have to look at what exactly is the characteristic that causes the halacha. By trefos, its inability to survive. The animal, the fetus, can survive on its own, so therefore it's not yerech imo. When it comes to Isser Hana, however, it's somehow or other, it's the ritzifos, it's all of the matter that's in front of the court at this moment. So therefore, when it comes to Isser Hana, just like the mother becomes Aser Behana, the Vlad also becomes Aser Behana. And the same thing when it comes to the Chiyuv Misa, you know, that was Paskin, and when it comes to the Negicha, we have to know which characteristics we're focusing on, whether we focus on the set of characteristics that emphasize the fetus's independence, or whether we focus on the set of characteristics that emphasizes the fetus's dependence.